Opinions expressed on this program are those of Dale Jackson, his guests, and callers. They do not represent the views of Cumulus Broadcasting, its management, or this station.
The power of God has freed us.
Live, it's local, it's the Dale Jackson Show on News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, WVNN.com, and on your smartphone on iHeartRadio.
I like that Jason turns my microphone on as I'm singing. Fantastic, because you don't see me sitting right across from you.
Keep your eye on your producer.
I am singing.
You know, for 5 years I've given you a key. Keep an eye on it.
I don't pay attention to you.
Of course not. That's all.
News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN News Time, 6:08 here on your Wednesday morning. Good morning, everybody. Dale Jackson here. If you want to jump on board, 1-866-494-WVNN, 1-866-494-9866. I'm going to jump right into the Supreme Court ruling just for a second here. I'm not going to spend too much time on it. But if you are a racial minority, I feel sorry for you. Because America just changed big time for you. I say this kind of facetiously, to be honest with you. But apparently, there are people on the Supreme Court, this could lead to a problem down the road, that believe the only way to combat racial discrimination is with racial discrimination. They believe the best way to atone for racial discrimination in our past is to make sure that white kids with better scores on their SATs and better grades don't get into school over black kids with worse scores and worse SATs. Now, I will point out how incredibly stupid and disingenuous this entire argument is because I didn't get into college. But you know how I ended up going to the University of Florida? It's pretty simple. Went to a community college for 2 years. Well, less than 2 years. Knocked that out about a year and a half. Went to a community college, got my 2-year degree, and then the state school in Florida had to accept you. No, they didn't have to accept you into the college you wanted to go to, but they had to accept you. I know it sounds crazy. I had to actually put some work in and actually get into the program I wanted to get into. And I had to actually put the work in order to get the degree. And it didn't happen just for me at the very beginning like I wanted it to. So, therefore, I was completely screwed, right? And done. There was no way for me to accomplish what I wanted to accomplish. No? Wait, that's not true. The idea here is, if you don't allow black kids or minorities, except for Asians, because remember, Asians are the bad minority, especially follow what's happening in California, and you'll definitely see this. The kids in California, the most liberal part of the country, they've decided that Asians are bad minorities. There's too many of them. So what they're going to start doing is stopping Asians from getting into the college. And I don't mean, you know, making it harder for them, removing them from the affirmative action list, any of that stuff. I am talking about outright setting caps on the number of Asians that can attend these universities because their universities are becoming overran with Asian kids. So they're trying to stop them. So again, that kind of racial discrimination is okay because after all, Asians are not worthy minorities to Democrats because they haven't found a way to make them get on the Democrat plantation like they have been able to with blacks and now Hispanics. You can dislike that statement all you want. It's a statement of fact. in California, they are actively working to set limits on the number of Asians that can attend these universities, to cap the number of Asians that can get into these universities because they're becoming too yellow. So that kind of racial discrimination is okay. The Supreme Court ruling yesterday basically said that racial discrimination is not how you deal with racial discrimination. The state cannot engage in racial discrimination if the voters say stop engaging in racial discrimination. The question was not whether to use racial discrimination, but the question was whether the states have the power to end racial preferences without violating the U.S. Constitution. Somehow, the argument has become equal protection under the law actually means unequal protection under the law, and we have to protect unequal protection under the law and allow racial preferences. Now, I heard idiots this morning on the Talking Heads implying that, well, if they're going to stop allowing benefits for, preferences for ethnic minorities, then they should stop having preferences for high SAT scores. This was an honest conversation they were having because high SAT scores benefit whites and bad minorities like the Asians. And I saw a study done in the past, also the Jews. So you remember that they benefit too. So we want to make sure they're also a bad minority. The implication, of course, is that if you take your kid to an SAT prep course and help him get a better score on his SAT, you are disadvantaging someone who did not go to an SAT prep course, someone who did not get a good score on their SAT. And that's not fair. And they're serious. These are serious people. And these are people who make up our news media and they make up the court system. Justice Sotomayor argued that the people in Michigan should not be able to end racial discrimination practices in their college preferences. They should have to continue. If you are a white kid in the state of Michigan, you should have to continue to get in line behind folks who do worse in school because of the color of their skin. That racial discrimination is the only opportunity to actually end racial discrimination. Sotomayor argued the decision of the people of Michigan to end racial discrimination is itself an instance of racial discrimination. The only way to mitigate such racial discrimination is through the mandatory maintenance of racial discrimination. In the opinion, in which she was obviously joined by Justice Ginsburg, Justice Kagan recused herself. Justice Sotomayor argued that Michigan's Proposal 2, which mandates race-neutral state policies, is the sort of legislation used to, quote, oppress minority groups. Yes, race-neutral state policies equal oppression. By outlawing racial discrimination, quote, a majority of the Michigan electorate changed the basic rules of the political process in the state in a manner that uniquely disadvantaged racial minorities. So basically what they're saying here is if a referendum, a constitutional referendum, does not go the way the NAACP wants, then its effects are invalid. This is tyranny of the courts. We'll continue. 1-866-494-WVNN, 1-866-494-9866. Racial preferences could be going away. It could be the end of the racial preferences for college admissions across the country. People will have you convinced that this is the end of days. that we're going back, I don't know, Jim Crow, or let's just use that since that seems to be a fun one. Stay tuned. We'll talk a little bit more about what this actually means. It means that people will sadly be judged by the content of their character, by their actions, by their behavior, by their performance, as opposed to what color their skin is. And apparently, this is racism. Stay tuned. Live, local, News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Depend on it. News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, News Time, 624. Here on your Wednesday morning, Dale Jackson here. Don't forget to register for the Jersey Mike's WVNN Office of the Week. If you haven't already, I'll be choosing those sometime today. And tomorrow, somebody will get some free subs from Jersey Mike's brought to their office. Go to WVNN.com for more information. About this affirmative action case yesterday, do you allow discrimination to deal with discrimination? Do you allow racial minorities special preferences as a way to atone for crimes committed against minorities before any of us were born? The answer of most liberals is, of course you do. Of course you do. There is absolutely no reason not to. How dare we? Do we not understand what we did to these people? We brought them over on boats. I mean, this is their argument, not mine. And on the bench right now, we have a woman, Sonia Sotomayor, who is so ridiculously liberal that it is her opinion that unless the NAACP gets their way, unless the NAACP blesses the ruling, which is what we're seeing, by the way, the same argument being made by Bob Harrison, the NAACP has to bless, and by the way, that's not just the national NAACP, the local NAACP has to bless the decisions of Huntsville City Schools before Huntsville City Schools can do anything. This is the argument they're actually making, only on the national level. Now, what does all this mean? Well, it means that they're actually saying, folks, the state Supreme Court or the state voters can make their own rules. If the state doesn't want to have affirmative action, the state should be able to make those rules. Her argument is the voters have no say. The Constitution has no say. Academics are the ones who should be able to have that say. And it's crazy. I mean, it's absolutely crazy. But these are the way Democrats think they win. Because now they're going to be able to say that the Republican Supreme Court, the one that, you know, that upheld Obamacare, dealt another blow once again to ethnic minorities. And the only one that stood up for them was the wise Latina. She's a female. She's Latin, in case you didn't notice. She offers up the case study that moral, what is moral, in her opinion, is more important than what is legal. That identity politics trump over the law. In reading here from the National Review, Justice Sotomayor has revealed herself as a naked and bare-knuckled political activist with barely even a pretense of attending to the law. In the years she has left to subvert the law will be a generation-long reminder of the violence the Obama administration has done to constitutional order. Well, I think that's a bit much because I don't think it's about the Obama administration as much as it's about decades and decades and decades of naked liberalism, which Michael Savage correctly refers to as a mental disorder. Justice Kennedy's issue-evading opinion on the court's plurality, barely more confidence-inspired, argued that the case was not about the constitutionality or the merits of race-conscious admission policies in higher education, but instead simply whether and in what manner voters in states may choose to prohibit the consideration of racial preferences in governmental decisions. Now let me ask about this. What does this mean for the gay marriage debate? And You think I'm kidding? Ask yourself, what does this mean? How do you rule on the issue of gay marriage nationally if you basically say the courts do not have a role in helping overturn electoral decisions and constitutional decisions in the state? That's up to the voters. Well, how in the world do you make the argument that the Supreme Court should not be taking up these cases where where gay marriage was banned? How do they not draw that conclusion? If you can say that the court does not have a role in overturning voters' decisions in individual states, meaning there is no tyranny of the minority right now, then how in the world do you overcome the states where they have banned gay marriage? If you're an anti-gay marriage person, you just got a victory yesterday. Because I think that if they take these up, they have to look at this case and say, state constitution, voters should be able to make their own decisions. Now, whether or not that reality comes to pass, I don't know, but that's what it looks like to me. Stay tuned. 1-866-494-WVNN. 1-866-494-9866. It's the Dale Jackson Show. Live and local. We're here on WVNN.
We're here.
It's live. It's local. It's the Dale Jackson Show. On News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, WVNN.com, and on your smartphone on iHeartRadio.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, News Time 6:37 here on your Wednesday morning. Now, on the issue of gay marriage, did they not make the argument that if the states want to ban gay marriage, they can? Are they both about the same thing? The ability of voters to have their say in their state constitutions? Some would argue yes, some would argue no. Legal experts say those who oppose same-sex marriage will likely use Tuesday's ruling to bolster their arguments. But there are important differences between the cases, and it would not be inconsistent for the Supreme Court to uphold one type of voter-approved ban in one instance and strike down another. While both affirmative action and same-sex marriage cases center on the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, and the main difference relates to whether the bans cause harm to specific people. Let me give you an example. Who is harmed by affirmative action rulings? White people? I guess I would argue specifically white people are harmed by affirmative action. Who's harmed by gay marriage rulings? I don't know. Gay people? And whether they deprive someone of a fundamental right, is going to school a fundamental right? Is going to college at the University of Michigan a fundamental right? Probably not yet. Is getting married a fundamental right? Apparently, even though it's not located anywhere, apparently it is a fundamental right. They go on to say, for example, a person who is turned down for admission to one university could choose another, but couples looking to get married don't have such an option. In March, a federal judge in Detroit struck down Michigan's same-sex marriage ban, which received 59% support from the voters in 2004. U.S. District Court Judge Bernard Friedman's order was soon stayed while Attorney General Bill Shute appeals the U.S. Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals the issues of same-sex marriage and the possibility that the Michigan case are now ultimately headed to the Supreme Court. So what will they do? Can they rule for voter referendums and then rule against them? Well, according to this article, yeah. Yeah, they could. Should they? I don't know. I don't see the problem here. I read this and I don't understand how you could say voters can ban something like affirmative action, but they can't ban something like gay marriage. The voters, no matter what the reason is, the argument by the court was the court doesn't have the standing to tell voters they can't do stuff. I mean, that was the larger issue. And now it all depends on what judge it gets in front of and how the judges are feeling that day. You thought that, who knows what Justice Roberts might do. I mean, we saw what he did on the issue of Obamacare. But the gay marriage thing seems to be one of the issues that seem to be coming up here. In banning affirmative action, Justice Kennedy said, Michigan voters exercise their privilege to enact laws as a basic service and basic exercise of their democratic power. But Justice Kennedy has noted in the past that courts properly struck down other voter-approved measures that were intended to or had the effect of causing harm to people based on their race. There's no infliction of a specific injury as a result of Michigan's ban on affirmative action, which is permitted but not required, he said. The plaintiffs in Michigan's same-sex marriage case, a lesbian couple who are raising adopted children but can't legally become joint parents, argue they do suffer harm. A lecturer at Michigan State University Law School and a constitutional law scholar said conservatives, including those of the Supreme Court, were quick to throw Kennedy's arguments back at him when the same-sex marriage ban reaches the Supreme Court later on. So, down we go with affirmative action, and this will, of course, set a domino in effect across the country, as it should. And then right back to the story the media loves, and that is the story of gay marriage. Right back to it. I mean, we are right back to that story. Everything goes back to that story. Kennedy's response will be that it's different when you're talking about the rights of an individual in a case like same-sex marriage. I think he's going to have to back away a little bit from what he said today. He was very pro-referendum and very pro-proposal. And I'm a big fan of the referendum. I really am. I think if you can get the folks in your state to argue that something is constitutional, and yes, that includes horrible things, okay? And that includes things I don't agree with. If the state of Alabama voters say, we don't want to have abortion in the state of Alabama, I think they should be able to ban it. I know that that's not possible, but I think they should be able to ban it. And if they want to ban gay marriage, they should be able to ban it. And if they want to ban affirmative action, they should be able to ban it. And if people in California want to allow it, or even in their case, they banned gay marriage not too long ago, and the courts overturned it, well, they should be allowed to do that. They should be allowed to make their own decisions. Self-determination, right? When does that stop? Why do we give up our ability to make our own rules in our state to the federal government? You also got to remember it's 2014. For example, a state ban on interracial marriage, if that was still on the books, could that be enforced? And that's, of course, where this argument will eventually go. If they can ban gay marriage, well, why can't they ban interracial marriage? If the state wants to. And then they'll point to Alabama, where I think it was, 60-40 it went down in 2000 or so. And they'll say, well, see, 14 years ago, only 40% were against interracial marriage. We can't have the tyranny of the majority. But if you're pro-referendum, you have to be pro-referendum regardless of whether you get your way or not. And that's the part where we all come down on different sides, because we are okay. And just like they said earlier in one of these pieces, if the NAACP doesn't approve, well, then it has to go. And that right there is the tyranny of a court system that takes a few special actors like the NAACP and gives them power that they do not have regularly, that they cannot win at the ballot box. It gives them the ability to make law, essentially. Keep in mind, the NAACP is still an actor in the city of Huntsville when it comes to drawing school districts. They're still an actor. They're still able to exert influence that they do not have. Not by numbers, not by elected officials, not by popular demand, but they're able to exert that because of the tyranny of the courts. And what the courts are saying here is the people have some say. So the question will be, how much say do they have? Now, should they make this an issue of gay marriage? I don't know. That issue kind of is kind of absurd to me. I don't know why you'd want to stop two gay people from getting married. Nothing makes people lamer than getting them married. But why would you do that? Why would you want to work to stop this? But they might. And there are roles out there for these individuals who want to stop gay marriage. There are roles for them to play here. And that is taking it to the higher court and referencing this ruling. Stay tuned. We'll change gears here next. 1-866-494-WVNN. 1-866-494-9866. Did I just see this stupid kid that got kicked in the face on the train getting $250,000? You saw this train thing, right? Where the guy standing there taking a selfie in front of a train and the conductor came by and kicked him in the face? Did you see that before, Jason? Did you ever see that video?
I heard about it. I hadn't seen the video, it was but just on the way you described it.
It was just on television. It was just on television, and there was a graphic up there that said $250,000. So I hope this kid did not get $250,000 for getting kicked in the face on a train. We'll talk about that stupidity when we come back. It's the Dale Jackson Show, live and local, News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Depend on it. News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, News Time, 6:52 here on your Wednesday morning. Remember the train guy? The guy who got kicked in the face by the train? I don't know who's dumber. The kid who got kicked in the face by the train or the kid who almost died because he wanted to go to Hawaii? But this kid who got kicked in the face by the train conductor is going to make $250,000 after his YouTube video received more than 23 million views. It's been viewed 23 million times since he uploaded it last week. He's going to earn a substantial fortune after being approached by companies keen to advertise with the hugely popular clip. Kicked in the face. 22 years old. 22 years old and gets $250,000. Boy, does this not tell you go out and be stupid. I mean, does it not tell you to go out there and just be stupid? You can be famous for any reason, but being stupid will still get you paid. The headline, man kicked in the face to earn $250,000. On Monday, Jared Frank signed with a California-based representative called Jukin Media. Told his video could earn between $2 and $16 per 1,000 views. He can also expect a 70% share of the profits. When YouTube releases its mid-month report on view tallies, he could generate as much as $250,000. Quote, I'm a little worried, but I have a decent relationship with the licensing company, so I trust them. I did a lot of research first. He's going to use this money to take a trip to Peru and then go to film school. Now, what I want to know about is what does the engineer get? What does the engineer get? And the engineer kicks him in the face, and that's the reason he's famous, right? I mean, that's who's the star of this movie? This kid or the boot? The student is shown standing beside the track just as the train approaches, and he meets the business end of an engineer's black leather boot. I press play, and I was going to look at where the train was, but by that time, I already got kicked in the head. The Canadian claimed the drop kick didn't hurt, and it was more of a shock than anything else. He's lucky he's not dead. He's lucky he didn't fall like under the train or something. He doubts that the engineer's intention was towards helping him avoid more serious injury. Or even possible death. If the train was going to hit me, it was going to hit me before his boot ever reached me. Despite not believing the conductor had good intention. I had no idea. Was the conductor quoted somewhere? Saying, hey, I kicked this guy in the head for a good reason. I was trying to help this guy. Even the truth is a little ridiculous, and it does make me look stupid, but it was an accident. I got it on film, and I think it would have been a shame just to throw it away. And again, the faceless, nameless people of the internet, what do they get? Fame. And in order to get fame, you just have to be a stupid, buffoonish clown. Kicked in the face. The entirety of this guy's entire fame is like, it's based off being kicked in the face. And there is nothing, there is no justice in this world. There is zero justice in this world today. There's none. There's absolutely none. The guy got $250,000 for being kicked in the face. And he's a nobody, a nothing, and will never be anything except the guy who got kicked in his face. And whatever company pays this guy, what are you getting? What do you get for this? The notoriety of, hey, this is the guy who got kicked in the face and we gave him money to stand here and be the face of our company? Unless it's a boot company. The boot company is the only thing that I can possibly say would make any sense here. But again, you look at people like Sarah Palin and Paris Hilton and people like that who've never accomplished anything. I'm just kidding. I know Sarah Palin was governor. I know. But you look at folks like Paris Hilton and Kim Kardashian. And those guys became famous from sex tapes. I don't know. $250,000. Just think about that. That's life-changing money for anybody. Not a single person listening in this audience who, if they receive $250,000 tomorrow, would not have a life-changing experience. And for all the kids listening, just know, it is a train away. Go out there, stand by the train tracks, and hope that some guy comes by and kicks you in the face. Because apparently, that is all you have to do. Speaking of ridiculous amounts of money, how about our friends at the Huntsville International Airport? The U.S. Department of Transportation's fourth quarter analysis once again found what? Anyone know? Huntsville's airfare average was $528, $147 higher than the national average and the most expensive airport in the United States. Huntsville's average ticket cost was $31 less than it was for the third quarter, where fares averaged $559 per passenger, yet we're still up there at the tip top. The new ranking, based on round-trip ticket fares, including additional taxes and fees for destinations within the U.S., marks the sixth consecutive quarter Huntsville has been named the most expensive airport in the country. Can I ask you, who flies out of Huntsville? Who? The only time I ever fly out of Huntsville is when I fly to Washington, D.C. And maybe that's because we're such a federal town, I guess, that there's all these people going back and forth all the time. But I don't think I've ever taken a flight out of Huntsville to anywhere other than Washington, D.C. I got to fly 2 hours or go see our friends at Madison Shuttle, and they'll take you where you need to go. But no one goes to the Huntsville International Airport unless they're flying on business and because they know they can gouge the crap out of the government. They just continue to keep the prices high. I mean, that's how all this plays out. Good for them. Good for them. But that place is a ghost town most of the time. But they're getting their money, apparently. Someone's paying for it. Taxpayers, probably. Stay tuned. Well, it obviously is taxpayers because we're paying for the high cost of the tickets. Congratulations, folks. Congratulations. Stay tuned. Live, local, news talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Depend on it.